Today's reading is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on the level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Some of y'all may have noticed that when the music's like that, I get a little wiggly. Just absolutely phenomenal. Praise and thanks be to God. Lost in wonder, love, and praise. I want to take a moment to once again recognize a very dear friend and colleague who is with us today to celebrate, helped us consecrate our newly renovated spaces, and the former pastor, my beloved and honored predecessor, the Reverend Dean Snyder, is in the house today. Would you please greet him with me? Stand up, Dean. I love you. I'm glad you're here. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your amazing grace, your love, which excels all other. We thank you that you continue to come to us and to reveal yourself to us, to restore us in the image that you know is ours to bear. And we pray, O God, that in these moments of reflection, that we might be open and ready to receive your word. And I pray that because or in spite of me today, that your word would be heard and received. Help us to hear you. Help us to see you. Help us to know you more. I pray these things in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Palestinian-American poet Naomi Shihab Nye tells this story of an encounter between herself and a Middle Eastern mother and child. She writes, "The little girl at the airport gate in Cincinnati had a tuft of vivid pink ponytail sticking straight up out of her brown-haired head. I wondered how hard she had to beg to get her mother to do that. She was about 5, wearing a lacy white party dress. When we boarded the plane, she turned up sitting right in front of me. She poked her cute little face through the crack between the seats. "Do you have a table that comes out of your arm?" When the flight attendant gave safety instructions over the loudspeaker, she would chime in, giving loud responses. "You're welcome!" to "Thanks for flying with us." "Hope you have a nice flight too." Her mother tried to shush her. "But you told me to answer people," the girl protested. The mama said, "That lady's talking to everyone. She's not just talking to you." The plane took off toward San Francisco, and the little girl looked down on Cincinnati. "Oh, mama, we forget we live in a zigzag world. Look how it's shining." We forget that we live in a zigzag world, a shining world. This little Arab child had the eyes to see the beauty in the world, the light in the world. She saw everyone as a friend who was talking to her and wanted to be her friend. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't see. Many months ago now, in a sermon, I lifted up the opening prayer from our United Methodist Order for morning praise and prayer. That prayer begins, "New every morning is your love, great God of light, and all day long you are working for good in the world." I regularly post that prayer on Facebook, and many of you have commented about how helpful it is. I had one guy on Facebook ask if I could just post it every day until the election. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback about the prayer and how helpful it is, but I've also gotten a comment that's a little different about the prayer, and I've gotten that from a number of folks too. And it goes something like this: "You know, Pastor, I have a hard time seeing God working for good in this world." That response doesn't surprise me. I don't imagine it surprises anyone. So many people struggle just to get by. The specter of violence haunts our streets and our homes, even our computers. The earth is wrecked to line the pockets of the already rich. Bigotry and cruelty and injustice not only land upon human bodies with humiliating deadly force, but also become rallying cries to mobilize the very worst of human nature. And it feels tiresome to have to keep acknowledging the vitriol and division and polarization that seems so overwhelming in these days. But friends, that's the soup we're living in. We can't escape it. We can't get away from the experiences like those I've been hearing about, those folks that say how difficult it is, those of you who are involved in any way in the political fray directly, have told me how difficult it is to keep a sense of balance, a sense of kindness, a sense of faith. I've been hearing painful stories about hateful, dismissive words and actions received by family, from family and friends. I thought about that and begin to think that if our own loved ones begin to treat us like an enemy, then we know that the infection of this particular disease has become pervasive indeed. We may wince to think of the ways that we ourselves have contributed to the ugliness that is determined, it seems, to get its hooks in all of us. In the midst of all this, our vision can get clouded by hurt and defensiveness, by anger, by self-righteousness, by fear, regret. How can we see the shining zigzag world? How can we see others as friends? How can we see God under these conditions? Jean Vanier is a Catholic philosopher and, perhaps more important, the founder of L'Arche, which is an international organization that creates communities where people with intellectual disabilities and their caregivers live in community together. Vanier has himself lived in this kind of community for more than 50 years and is such a beautiful, humble teacher. Vanier talks about seeing God, and the way he describes it is using the language of signs. Now, Vanier says that a sign means a great event that is visible and reveals a presence of God. He's not talking about things you might immediately think of, things we might call miracles, like walking on water or immediate healing. Instead, Vanier mentions things like the 2010 film entitled Of Gods and Men. Has anybody seen that movie? Are you aware of that movie? If not, let me recommend it. But Vanier says this film, this movie that retold the tragic fate of 9 Trappist monks living in Algeria, they lived in deep harmony with their Muslim brothers and sisters until Islamic fundamentalist forces ordered them to leave. The monks refused to leave these people with whom they had shared so much and whom they truly loved. Their solidarity cost them dearly. Vanier says this film and the fact that so many have seen it is a sign of God's presence. It reveals God in the world. He also goes on to talk about the things that people do, acts of courage, acts of humility, acts of love, acts of self-sacrifice. He said these are signs, that is, great. You don't often think of those as great, do we? Isn't that interesting? Anyway, but Vanier says that these are great events that are visible and that reveal God's presence. Now, I imagine that many of us, when we think about it, can get on board or perhaps have had this understanding for years. But as maybe as an abstract concept, I wonder, is this the lens through which we actually look upon the world? Are we actively looking for signs? And if so, do we have the eyes to see them? As Naomi Shihab Nye's story reminds us, children tend to see signs with great clarity. With great clarity. I'm reminded of the moment here at Foundry back in July when this truth was on brilliant display. It was July 17th, and I remember this very clearly. July 17th, author Diana Butler Bass had joined us for worship with her family. She knew the preacher for the day, that was not me, and had come to share with us in worship. And she wrote about an experience that she had here later that day on her Facebook page. And I'm going to share with you what she wrote. The pastor, who by the way was Pastor Dawn, called the little ones forward for the children's sermon. About a dozen preschoolers gathered on the chancel steps. The pastor asked, "Where's the candle? Do you see the candle?" The children looked around. One sharp-eyed boy said, "There it is." She said, "Well, can you get that and bring it to me?" And he said, "Sure." And then it continued on like that. "Where's the white bowl? Where are the silver and gold beads? Where is something that reminds you of Christmas?" On and on it went. And finally she asked, "Where is God?" The children looked about, up and down and around, a few bewildered stares, a few shrugged shoulders, and then a small blonde boy in a plaid shirt about 3 years old said, "I know." Pastor Don said, "You do?" And he said, "Yes, yes." And then the pastor said, "Well, where?" And the little boy replied, "I'll go get God." And so he jumped up from the chancel stairs and ran down the center aisle. Now, his father was a little bit worried, though not that worried, because quite frankly, Luke runs laps around this sanctuary every Sunday. But his father looked a little... Diana didn't know that. I just ad-libbed and threw that one in. Anyway, Diana was telling the story. So the father was looking a little concerned about the open doors at the back of the sanctuary. So the father leapt up to go retrieve his child. But before he could even get to the back of the sanctuary, here comes that little child back into the sanctuary, literally pulling the hand of a kind-looking woman in her 70s down the aisle. "Here," he cried. "Here's God. She's here." Pastor Dawn looked a little puzzled. "Miss Jean," she said. And the boy pointed, "There she is. God. God." I received an email from Diana later that day saying that her Facebook stats revealed that her post of that story had reached, by that time, that day, over 100,000 people. She said, "I've never seen people respond so beautifully to something I've put up on social media. People are hungering for goodness." Luke went and found one of our most faithful ushers and greeters, Miss Jean. He sees her every Sunday morning. "There she is. God, God." The signs are all around us. But Vanier writes, to see signs, we have to be alive to reality, to what is actually happening. Now, perhaps that tempts some of us to circle back around to all the nastiness and struggle that pervades the world at present. That, some would say, is what is actually happening. True enough. But it's not all that's happening. New every morning is your love, great God of light, and all day long you are working for good in the world. Are we looking upon our lives and the world with the expectation that all day long God is working for good? Do we have the eyes to see? I can promise you, if you're not looking, you probably won't see it. But that's another sermon for another day. Witness is our guiding theme for this next year. And one aspect of witness is seeing. What do we witness? What do we see? I'm glad we have the year to explore it because there's a lot to explore. But as a beginning today and a way of framing this piece of our reflection on the topic, I was drawn to Psalm 27 that we heard read this morning. It came to mind initially because verse 4 of that psalm is part of the daily office that I pray from the Celtic Daily Prayer Book. "One thing I asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to dwell and inquire and seek God in God's temple." Having prayed this verse every day for more than 2 years now, I've come to understand the house of the Lord not as a building, not as a physical sanctuary, though this isn't a bad place to hang out, but rather as an enfolding in God's presence. Where does God dwell? Where is God present? Where is God's house? What is God's household? I believe that the household of the Lord is the created world. Is therefore everywhere I go. Perhaps, however, like me, occasionally we become so caught up in our own agenda, so familiar with our surroundings that we forget where we are and can only see as far as the end of our own nose. We don't see what's there. But an awareness of where we are, where I am, when I do that, I'm in God's house. Everywhere I go, that opens my eyes to beauty. It reminds me to look for God everywhere. Everywhere. My experience is that without that daily reminder of how to fix my gaze, the reminder of what to seek, what to look for, my vision shrinks and becomes distorted and fixed upon distractions and divisions and destruction. When I went back to read the whole psalm, I was reminded that in this, because I sometimes worry that I come off sounding a little too sweet. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that pretty? But you know, I went back into this psalm. Let's pay attention. When we really look at this prayer, we don't find anything that can be interpreted as a denial of the painful realities of this world. The psalm doesn't suggest that if you just go to church regularly, you pray all the time, that all the bad things will go away and your life will get easy and you'll never get hurt or feel sad or angry. Nothing in this psalm suggests that. Instead, we hear of flesh being devoured, of war, of parents' abandonment, of slander and violence. And in the midst of all these realities, the psalmist seeks God, who is known as a light and a guide for the path, as a teacher, as a source of protection and help, as the strong fortress and rock that will provide strength in the midst. And finally, the psalmist's testimony is this: I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We don't have to wait till we're dead, people. That's part of the testimony. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord where? In the land of the living. If the psalmist is correct, seeing God in the midst of pain and struggle gives us the courage to stand strong, to resist the forces all around us that would devour us if they were given the chance. Seeing God, even in the presence of injustice and attack, also allows us to recognize beauty in the world, even when it seems there is no beauty to be had. That is to say, an awareness of God's presence, of God's activity, gives us the eyes to see the acts of kindness, of generosity, of tenderness, of courage, of self-sacrifice, of patience, of creativity, these great things that happen right in the midst of tragedy, that are always present, always responding, always there, if we can see them. Seeing God helps us see what God sees. Because if we're seeing God's presence and activity, we become aware of the people that God is interacting with, the ways God is at work. And if we're seeing that, then we'll see how we can get involved in what God's up to. There's a lot to unpack and process about the practice and benefits of seeing God. And we'll get to do that in the months ahead. But for today, the invitation is simply to recognize how important it is to know what you're looking for. What do you seek? The psalmist says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord. This is what I seek, to dwell in God's household every day, to behold the beauty of God, and to seek God What do you seek? What do you look for? Today, friends, you're invited to go and see God. We forget. We live in a zigzag world. Look how it's shining. Look. Here's God. She's here. Thanks be to God.